Welcome to the Day One Podcast Extra. I'm Peter Wallace, and today we're honored to be speaking with the Reverend Dr. B. Wiley Stevens, who is pastor of Dunwoody United Methodist Church in Dunwoody. Wiley, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be here.
You pastor a large suburban church. How do you keep your members in touch with the needs of the real world in service, both those near your church and beyond?
I think of several ways. Of course, I try in preaching to make sure that my illustrations are challenging for them to be involved where they are and in the world. But I think more importantly is to get them involved. When we send mission teams into our community or to places in the world, they are learning something that I think will change their lives.
I'm going to ask you, what do you think the three biggest issues you face as the senior pastor of your church and how you're dealing with them? I haven't given you any time to prepare for that, so we'll see how you answer that, the three biggest issues.
Okay, these are not meant to be in any order, okay, by the way. But the first would be, as senior pastor, you obviously have a staff. And how you use that staff and let them work through you and you use their work is essential for a senior pastor. I mean, I can't be everywhere all the time, and I'm blessed with some associates and others that really make a difference. That would be my first thing, is to be the leader of the staff team. The second would be same with the lay leadership. I think as senior pastor, it's my job to challenge and inspire those who have volunteered or been elected to leadership roles in the church, for them to see themselves in ministry. But then, of course, there is the congregation. And as pastor, I have to be in the hospitals and the nursing homes and in the homes in order to be a part of where they are struggling in life. Of course, the team is there, both lay and clergy, as well as myself. But I need to make sure that I'm there.
Are there ways that you specifically follow to maintain a balance with all those responsibilities? It would seem to be easy to become overloaded in one area or another.
Well, I think the first risk in a large church is you become staff-centered because you're with those folks every day. And so I try to make sure that I have a certain amount of time every day that I'm out in the field, you might say, out there where people are. In seeing people, that would be the first key to keeping that balance. The second is to make sure the staff is not making decisions that the lay leadership should be involved in, because the key word here is ownership. And if you weren't in on the decision, you're not going to feel like you're the owner.
You earned a BD from Candler and a D.Min degree from McCormick Theological Seminary. How do you think theological education has changed over the years? Are we better preparing our ministers these days?
I think we are. I think, like most all education, it's an evolving process. Of course, you know, you always think you had a great experience when you were in seminary, but I think it has improved. I think for example, at least in the United Methodist Seminary, we're using internships more effectively, getting out into the local church.
You participate as a teacher in the course of study school for United Methodist ministers at Candler School of Theology at Emory. You mentioned that in the regular Day One program, but tell us briefly about the purpose of that program and what you teach there.
Well, local pastors in our polity are people who have not reached the standards of ordination. That is, we require, for example, a master's from a seminary. And these are people who probably will, because of limited resources or age or whatever, serving small churches, will probably never reach that level. So we try in 5 months, that is 5 summer months, to give them an education that will help equip them for ministry in place of a seminary education. What I teach is the two courses. One is preaching and one is on the sacraments and worship, and that also involves preaching as well.
What would you say are the major needs of ministers like those in your classes in the smaller churches, perhaps in rural areas?
I think one thing is to have people understand the key to ministry is not the size of the church or the location of the church, but the challenge to be God's person in that place at this time. And when we can see that God is effective where we are, or as some say, bloom where we are planted, I think that's the first step in effective ministry.
You are well known in the United Methodist Church and beyond for your preaching. Tell us how you typically prepare a sermon.
Well, I like to, for one thing, I like to stay several months ahead on my ideas. Secondly, I am pretty much committed to following the lectionary. That's because that means I start with a word and not just with an idea and let the word speak to me first. And I like to try to find what's new in that passage to me as I come to it this time. And perhaps if it's new to me, it'll be new to my people and I can challenge them with it.
One of the things people enjoy about your sermons are the illustrations and stories you tell that really hit the mark. How do you find good illustrations?
Well, I would say from several places. I think a lot of illustrations come from just observing around us in the world, from all sorts of sources, from media to reading. I think the second is, and I will confess that I subscribe to some homiletical magazines that will give me illustrations. I stay away from any printed sermons because I want to do my own thinking. But I do look for illustrations in these sources.
What would you say is the major theme or the major themes of your preaching?
Well, since it follows the lectionary, that will change with the seasons. That's a hard one just to answer, except I want to bring the gospel alive and to bear in the world where people can be challenged. I think T.S. Eliot put it right when he said that the purpose of literature is to turn blood into ink. And then Charles Barron, the Preaching Moment, said, then the purpose of preaching is to turn that ink back into blood. And I hope that's what I'm doing in preaching, is to bring those words alive.
Some would say that the act of preaching in a pulpit is out of date for this world. Of course, as this podcast attests, there are many ways to get the word out. But how would you respond to that charge?
I'm not sure preaching will ever be out of date. Yeah, we'll find new media. And I think we'll do it on all sorts of media. But there's still a need to collect, to gather in worship, and to hear the word proclaimed. In fact, Peter, I must confess, I normally don't stand in the pulpit, but do a little wandering. I think that, too, has changed in the world today. But I wouldn't make that necessary for anybody. But the key is, by what I think you really mean by that term, is to have one voice speak in community as we all think together.
Well, Dr. Wiley Stevens, thank you for being with us on this Day One Podcast Extra.
It's been fun.